Well, welcome to the call this evening. We're sure glad you came to join us. It just really is a drag to do these when we're all by ourselves.
It just feels weird, doesn't it? Yeah.
Anyhow, we're glad that you're with us tonight, whether you're listening to us live or whether you are tuning in to a recorded version. Welcome. It is absolutely an honor and a privilege to be a part of your journey, and we're glad that we're not just glad, we're truly honored that you've allowed us to speak into your life and to lock arms with you and to learn with you over the course of this year about how we can just do just a little bit better all the time as it applies to growing ourselves and growing better in our marriage.
You know, as I look at all the names that are coming across the board right now, I have to tell you, it is a true honor to be journeying with you guys because you guys are spiritual giants. Each one of you have committed to some really great tasks, and that great task is to grow yourself so that you can be the right partner. So, you know, as we talked about tonight,
we've just had a ton of questions come in the last few weeks.
And they all surrounded the same topic. And the topic was conflict, really. We kind of boiled it all down with all the different questions that were coming in.
Yep.
You know, it was kind of like, how do you tame your tongue? Or how do you stop from when you're saying stuff that you don't want to say? Or, you know, that moment when your blood's boiling. And how do we, and what do we do? And so really it all streams down to the central concept of conflict resolution. And I kind of made a joke on Facebook, or just a play on words, instead of conflict resolution, maybe it's conflict absolution or conflict obsoletion, which obsoletion is really not that friendly of a word.
Yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, resolution means that it's a firm decision to do or not do something. And honestly, in our relationship, it's kind of how God first got a hold of us, with a bunch of do's and don'ts, right?
Yep, he did. He kind of, you know.
He told me to stop being your Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, that was a great starting point.
Yeah. Well, it was, and I think that, you know, God's cool like that. He meets us where we're at. And again, like you said, in the early days, it was a lot more kind of directive in that way. Whereas today, I would say that he speaks to us more in an inspiration, more of, you know, what do we want and what do we really want to pursue. And I think what we've learned over the years and what we're going to talk about this evening is sort of the journey that we've taken and what we've learned along the way. And, in fact, what we've taught to many other couples. And if you can catch this, it's going to help you. It's going to help you not only in your marriage relationship, but it may very well even help you in, like, negotiations in your business or conflict resolution at work, because the concepts we're going to be speaking about, some of them are directly having to do with conflict, but some of it just has to do with how we manage our own thoughts and how we think and how we actually make choices to engage or not engage in certain rhetoric or activities or verbal abuse.
it's the habits that we create, and it's the habit of thinking that shapes our habit of doing.
It is indeed. It is indeed.
So, you know, when we first started out, I guess kind of the way that God got our attention was a decision to not do something or to do something. It was like this idea of, stop being Greg's Holy Spirit. So there was a lot of times where we would get in these modes of a lot of anger, outbursts, rage.
You mean like we fought like cats
we
and dogs?
Like
two kids on a playground? Like, yeah.
Yeah, so we kind of did that thing. And I remember as we began to try to get control of those emotions, there was a lot of don't do this or use this to not do that. And so do you want to share kind of some of the best practices that we began to implement?
Yeah, so let me just speak very first person about this. Many of you who have followed our ministry or our story or whatever know that in the early days I had a terrible, terrible temper. And I not only had a terrible temper, but I owned it, you know. In other words, it was part of my identity, and I was comfortable with that. In fact, I would even brag about it sometimes, you know. in my teenage years, it was a rare weekend. If I went a weekend, it did not get in a fist fight of some sort.
Right.
So even throughout my military career, and then, of course, when I married Julie, I still had a lot of these anger issues. And again, I have to emphasize that I think a lot of the reason why is because I actually owned it. And so I just want to pause right there before we get into the actual meat of the lesson tonight. And I just want to give everybody the opportunity to consider, is there something about your identity that you're owning that is not really in fully alignment with who God says you are? You know, maybe it's a past hurt, or maybe it is hurt. Maybe it's a diagnosis, you know, a mental diagnosis, or even a physical diagnosis, or maybe it's a fear of something. You know, there's lots of different ways that this may manifest, but what I'm asking you to think about is there anything that you're owning about yourself that really is not in the full completion of who God says that you are? Because that's what I was doing. I was saying, you know what, I'm Irish Indian, and you just don't want to mess with me. You'll have your hands full. And anybody that knows me knows that I'm no bigger than a popcorn fart. So, you know, I'm pretty feisty, but I'm just not a big guy. I certainly am not the kind of guy who can walk around with his arms all bowed out like, don't mess with me. It's just a ridiculous notion. And but I did. I challenge anything that's in your identity, first of all, that's not in alignment with really who God says you are, or for that matter, even who you want to be. You know, because sometimes we form these paradigms around ourselves and we take up these things about our identity. Oh, I just don't like this, or I'm not good in crowds, or I'm not, you know, just fill it with your poison. And I would just say, why own those things? If there's anything that is representative of a limitation, then why would we own those things about ourselves? Why wouldn't we speak and believe and begin to cultivate something different? It's really small-minded and backward thinking when we don't. So that was for somebody tonight, but moving on with our regular scheduled program, I had a horrible temper. And I decided at one point, you know, that I really didn't want to be identified as somebody who has a hot head and a temper any longer. And clearly I could see the effect that it was having in my family and in other areas of my life as well, especially after I went to jail a couple of times for thumping people. So God really began to deal with my heart and change my heart. And I started to really begin to think through prayer. I began to really think about what it was that I really wanted to portray. And there's a couple of things that I begin to notice. First of all, if you're about to have a blow up in your family, it doesn't matter if it's with your spouse or with your kids or with anybody for that matter. There is this time of engagement, you know, because most of the time the things that we tend to get excited about, honestly, about 90% of the time, they don't amount to a hill of beans. They're just, you know, layers of things that are stacked up on us throughout the day or whatever, and they may be layers of offenses from our spouse or, you know, again, somebody else that have stacked up on us. And then all of a sudden we overreact to something that also doesn't amount to a hill of beans. And so what I learned is that if Julie did something that, ticked me off for one reason or another, you know, it just hit me wrong, it felt disrespectful, I mean, you fill in your poison, whatever the case may be, but it hit me wrong. See, back in the day, I would flip out. I would engage with her. I would be like, you know what, let me help you with something, lady, you know, and put her in her place. Cut her down to size. Well, first of all, again, that doesn't make any sense. This is a person that I vowed to love and cherish for the rest of my life. So literally, logically, from that standpoint, it doesn't make any sense. But what I realized is that I'd just gotten comfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, has anybody else on this call, anybody else listening to this recording, have you gotten comfortable with your spouse? See, you've heard us say before that comfort equals complacency, because when we get comfortable in any area of life, we will become complacent. And I know you don't like to hear that, but it doesn't make any less true. And so I learned that what Julie and I both needed to do is we needed to cultivate newness within our relationship, and we needed to be very actively pursuing one another and flirting and putting our best foot forward, because I don't know about y'all, but I found myself over the years saying some things to my wife I would never say to another human being. Love?
Yeah, well, I was never guilty of that. You know,
contraire, mon frère.
No, I want to pause with that, because a lot of what you're talking about, when I think back to those days of what streamed or what fed the anger, right? What was it that caused more conflict, and what caused the confrontations? And really, for me, there was a few things. And maybe those who are listening, if you find yourself in that space or that place where you just find yourself a little bit more irritated than normal, or you don't have the patience for somebody as much as you would like to, with your spouse as much as you would like to, it really comes to this root. For me, it was control. I was trying to control my environment. There were also times where there was just pride involved.
You're trying to control me.
I was trying to control you because I didn't want you to hurt me.
There we go.
Right? I was trying to control everything that you looked at, everything that you entertained, the way that you thought, the way that you know, I could go down the list, and I was just trying to control everything.
Yeah.
And so obviously
somebody needed to, but anyway.
Well, that's for me what the reason why God, I'm sure, said quit being your Holy Spirit, because not only was that control spilling out on you and causing more outbursts of anger, but it was destroying me from the inside out, because there was no way I ever could.
Absolutely.
You know, there's also the root of pride. When you think about your conflicts, usually there's somewhere where there's just this obstinance of I'm right, you're wrong.
Right.
A lot of times our fights were just habits. We had created habits to find the negative. We had created habits to find how we were getting the short end of the stick.
No question about it. No question about it.
But when we fed those negative emotions, thinking that we were going to try to solve a problem or solve the issue, the problem with feeding that negative emotion rather than turning it on its ear is we just perpetuated more of the same. And the emotions, the more I tried to get you to understand my way, because I just wanted you to understand me, you know, the more that insecurity was fed, and the more that it became volatile. I also think when it comes to conflict, so sometimes what we're really, more than the issue that's at hand, you know, sometimes we get so trapped up in the small offense that's on the table, when the bigger offense is that we've been keeping score, or we are harboring unforgiveness, and so now every time that any little thing is done, it's monumental, and it takes a disproportion of what it should be. It's bigger than what it should be. So when we keep score, we harbor unforgiveness. Or the other thing, sometimes I was just downright easily offended. You know, you could do something, and there was no reason for me to be offended, but because I had felt so stopped in other areas, or pushed down in so many other ways, or misunderstood. And so I started just being so easily offended that it just started this snowball effect in the opposite of direction of what we wanted. And then I began to defend my rights. But you hit on it, and it's really that complacency and the familiarity of our relationships that get us oftentimes
most of the
in
time.
That condition. And so I know you have something to say. I just want to pause, though.
Mm-hmm.
When you were talking about identity and owning something that is not truly who we are,
mm-hmm.
I think some great ways, you know, if we were to sidestep and maybe some do's that were put into place, we began to ask God, who do you say I am?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And who do you want me to be? And I began to even ask myself, who do I want to be?
Well, and yours was triggered for a different reason, too. And so, again, I love that you're bringing this up because it's universal. In other words, that applied to me, and that's definitely the process that I went through as I began to examine who I really wanted to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mine were anger issues. They were deep, deep-seated rages and such, right?
Right.
What triggered you more so was you had jealousy, and the jealousy would lead to anger. You know
sure.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But the root of all of it was jealousy. And when you begin to ask God, you know, who do you say
right.
I am,
and who
do I?
Right.
Yep.
What three qualities? So as you're thinking tonight, and if you would just even write down those questions, I think they're great reflective questions, whether you're in conflict or not, of stepping into the identity that God has for you. And that is, who does he say that you are?
Mm-hmm.
Asking yourself, who do you want to be? Getting a really strong image of the qualities that you admire most, that you want to live into, that you want to make room for in your life. None of us want to be idiots. None of us want to have fits of anger. None of us want to be flippant with our tongues. We don't start the day out and think, I think I'm really going to screw up Greg's day, or I'm really going to screw up Julie's day.
Well, you know what? I think that in and of itself is a great point, you know, because again, inside of the marriage, especially, I think, and with our kids too, I think we can just get too comfortable. And we just speak too freely, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we all need a little bit of grace. And I think sometimes just slowing the pace just a little bit and thinking, you know, logically, like just what you just said, like I'm pretty sure Julie didn't just stomp in the room here or wake up this morning and write out her list and agenda and go, okay, job number one, you know, tick Greg off. It's usually not intentional that we do those things.
So
right?
Tonight, as we call you up into the identity that God has for you, is there any area of your life that you're living limited to the image or the destiny that God speaks about you? That to me is, as I changed and as I stepped into who I believe God wanted me to be, it helped me to stop being so easily offended and change the habits and actually position my heart so that I could hear what I needed to change.
Yeah, and I think, again, just to dovetail off of it, even who do you want to be?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that as we mature, certainly over the years, I'm still discovering things about me and my identity that I don't like. And so when I become aware of them, it's like, okay, I need to change that. Mm-hmm. I need to change that perception about myself within myself first.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, just, it's good stuff. You want me to carry on?
Yep. Carry
did
away.
Did you get all three of your questions out there?
I got those questions
out there.
You want
to repeat them for them real quick? Because somebody didn't get it written down. They're
all right.
Frustrated over there on the other side of the phone.
Well, we don't want them frustrated. So who does God say that you are? Who is it that you want to be? Kind of the idea is, what three qualities do you admire most that you want to live into in your life right now? And is there any area that you're living limited to that image of your ideal person or the image or the destiny that God speaks about you?
Outstanding. Thanks for that. So let's go back to Greg's rage and fits. How about that?
All right.
So if you find yourself maybe out of character or just in a season in your marriage where you're bickering a lot, and then it ends up turning into, you know, these fights that mm-hmm. you never intended for it to be, or maybe you know someone, maybe this will help you. One of the things that I discovered is that once I'm angry, mm-hmm. once I reach that spot that I was in fact mad, it was too late. You know, I heard this garbage about count to 10, and maybe that works for you. Doesn't work for me. I'm like, 1, 2, freaking 10. Let's roll. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm already mad, it just doesn't do anything for me. What I realized is that what I don't want is to get angry to begin with. And I learned that there is a lot of things that I can do in order to keep from being angry to begin with. And the first thing is to get to know yourself, right? Here's what I mean. There is this sense. I realized during this season of my life that if I really got mad, I was not going to like the outcome. And neither was anybody else for that matter. It just was not going to bode well for anybody. And so I realized that what I needed to do is I needed to begin to control the anger before it ever got started. So Julie might come in, she might do something that really hit me the wrong way, and I could feel it down in my gut, you know? And in that moment, as I began to really monitor my emotions and how I felt, and I made it a habit to begin to do this because I really needed to lick this, you know? And even today, the same thing happens. The only difference is that God has helped me to gain control over it. So when I feel it, when I, it's like, you know, you, it starts with the emotion of, like, say what, woman? You know what I mean? Or did you just, you did not, you know, or whatever, I'm making light of it, but you know whatever it is that rubs you. You could probably think of something within the last few days that's happened even. Right then is a moment for decision. And what I realized is that if I could stop myself right there, and I could ask myself a question that you guys hear almost every single call, what do I want? What do I want right now? Because if I engage with a response to something that has offended me or ticked me off for some reason, if I engage one time, the likelihood that one time she may respond back, and then here we go.
It's on. Yep.
So what do I want? Do I want to engage? Do I need to win this battle? Do I need to make a point? Do I need to cut her down to size? Do I need to even let her know that she offended me or ticked me off? Does she even need to know? Well, there's times when I do, if I'm honest, but I'll come to that here in just a minute. See, the key is that 90% of the time, I'd say at least 90% of the time, even still today, what I realize is that I don't want to fight. So that's what I don't want. Second thing I don't want is I don't want to communicate anything other than love and adoration towards my wife or my kids. And what I really want is I want to have a peaceful night. I want to enjoy them. And you know what? That means I got to grow up. What that means is that I just need to grow up a little bit and not have to voice every offense and not have to voice every correction and every jot and tittle. I'm a kind of a detail-oriented guy sometimes. It's why I try to stay out of them, because if I get in them, I get lost in them. So it's easy for me to correct people and to point out this is a little bit wrong or whatever, but man, I'm just telling you that, again, when we stop and we can think about it logically for just a minute and realize that it's not going to take us down the road that we want to go at all. And it literally kept me from getting, because the thing is once the anger's there, you got these two little glands that sit right on top of your kidneys. They're adrenal glands. Some of you have heard this talk recently. But to see, the thing is that once we get angry, we're under this illusion that we can speak and we can debate logically. Mm-hmm. It's impossible, because once the adrenal glands kick in, there's a whole bunch of other series of chemicals that are released at the same time. And guess what happens? The blood that is in your head goes into your arms and your legs. It's the fight or flight mode. Literally, this is physically, scientifically true. You can't think straight. You are literally in fight or flight mode. It's either run or fisticuffs. Logic is out the window. And I just learned that over the years that if I could begin to pay attention to my own body, my own responses, my own emotions, that I could catch these blow-ups long before they ever even happened. Even if Julie blew up on me, I could still pause and make a decision, because it's like, boy, if I engage on this, it's going to go bad. Hmm. I'm not going to win. You know? Hmm. You got anything to add? Because I can go on.
Yeah, no, I think the difference between Greg and I, and the thing that oftentimes made it so volatile, is I'm actually not much for conflict. Like, I just as soon avoid conflict. I also, however, so like I stuffed a lot of things until they would just erupt, and then I was out of control in that way, because I was stuffing it down, and then all of a sudden he was getting this crazy psychotic woman over something minuscule, and I didn't give you the respect that you deserved by being in touch with my emotions to understand. I need to ask myself, is this a big deal?
Right.
And we actually landed on a really great checkpoint that helps you with anger and helped me from stuffing, because the other side of the coin, and we're going to share the best practice, so
get your pen ready.
It's a good one. But on the opposite side of it, I would stuff emotions, but I also felt the necessity to tell you every emotion and talk through everything, so much so that it was just like, I just wanted to talk and be understood. One time you even looked at me and said, Julie, I can't sit here and gaze in your eyes 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because it was like, that was kind of the yucky part of me trying to connect. It was contrived and forced. And so
It was smothering.
There you go. That's a great word for it. And it was, because out of my need of needing to your love versus wanting your love, it became imbalanced. And so I would stuff emotions until they erupt, or I would talk about every detail. And some details, like you said, just didn't need to be discussed.
Most of the time it's not even worth engaging over to begin with. But you're talking about stuffing. And so I don't want anybody to get the impression that we're asking you just to ignore your feelings or stuff. So let's go ahead and talk about the best practice, and then give the underpinning after the best practice for what we do as the second part of the best practice.
So the best practice actually came, I'm pretty sure God just gave it down right out to us. So actually through Jessica Cates. She was the one who shared the best practice.
She was the one who originally said it in a class we were leading.
A class that we were leading at the time. And she said, you know, the best practice for them was that she would ask herself, is this going to matter 5 minutes from now, 5 days from now, or 5 months from now? And she would only address the questions that were really the ones that were past the immediate moment.
Yep.
And for me, that helped me to begin to get in touch with my feelings of what is important here.
Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to sort out unless you have some way to measure it. And I think that's a great
tool. And when I realized that, you know what, this is something that is actually going to affect us quite a few months down the road. That was when I would talk to you about it.
Yep.
And anything that was less than that, I would literally just pray about it. And sometimes the 5 months, if we tried to talk about it and it began to get that stirring in your spirit and my pressing that we needed to get it resolved, we would just table it and go back to prayer about it.
Well, that's kind of the second part. So, again, the best practice there is, in the moment you can ask yourself, is this going to matter 5 minutes from now, 5 days from now, or 5 months from now? And you maybe even need to ask.
That was kind of the place where it just let us level set with our emotions to see how real they really were.
Yeah, kind of helps you begin to assess the reality, because sometimes that can get really blurred. Mm-hmm. So what if it matters, right? So there's somebody saying there, because sometimes it's not the specific offense, is it? It's what the specific offense represents. That's what I need you to tune into me now and think about, okay? What is it about this particular thing that irritates you or made you angry or offended or whatever anyway? What's the real issue? All right, and it's not often that we go down this route, but this is the way we're talking about it. It's going to help you if you can stay with me. If there's something that needs to be addressed, and you understand why, then my advice to you is, if it's at all possible, table it. because there's still emotion around it. And once again, I learned this somewhere along the line. I actually learned it in business, in negotiation, and in HR, interviewing people for HR positions and such. And it's really important that we stick to the facts and not the emotions. That doesn't mean that you can't say, when you do this, it makes me feel that this way. You know what I mean? Like, that's fair play. But what I'm talking about is when there is an issue, when there's something, when there's a rub and there's a lot of emotion around it, find out what the real thing is, what it represents. Table it, and then what we like to do is we'll come back to it. It may be a day, it may be a freaking week or longer, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know how long it'll take. But whenever I feel like, or whenever Julie feels like, we can circle back to that thing, then when there's no emotion, we can actually then begin to discussion it with some rational. Because again, we're not in the heat of the moment. We don't have that adrenaline thing going. You know, we're not fatigued. We're not whatever. We can kind of pick our time and say, you know, look, I didn't want to address this the other day because the last thing in the world that I wanted to do was fight. But here's something that's happened a few times lately that I noticed it. And I know that you don't mean to come off this way, but this is how I'm interpreting it. So help me figure this out so that we can kind of pick up and move forward from here. What would you add to that, sweetheart, about kind of how we transitioned through that?
Yeah, as we transitioned, the thing that kind of came to mind is beginning with that question of what do we want? Mm-hmm. And I know for me, it was important to have some checkpoints in place. And we would have agreed checkpoints where we would say, I may not say this perfectly.
That's right, yep.
And what that allowed us, because it was an agreed-on checkpoint,
yep,
we're getting ready to talk about something that could have some high emotions, right? I'm going to try to stick to the facts as much as possible, but just know that I may not say it perfectly. And then what was great about that is it did give a little bit of permission to talk about the emotions, because there were sometimes I would say,
yeah,
here's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
And then I'd say, here's where I feel stuck. This is where I feel like we're getting stuck, or this is a feeling that I'm having.
Yep.
And how can we get from here to there? What's your perspective on some solutions?
And well, I'll tell you, sometimes it's, you know, it's like, you know what? Yeah, I understand that. And let me tell you what happened, the way that I'm viewing it on mm-hmm. this side. Mm-hmm. And it's irritating when this and this happens. And then, you know what I mean? But,
right.
But we...
A big key to conflict is the ability. Both parties have to be in a space and place that they can listen.
That's exactly right.
And if you're not in a space and place that you can listen, that's when you table it and come back to it at another time.
And I think Dale Carnegie said, seek first to understand. If it wasn't Dale Carnegie, it would have been the Mormon guy. What's his name?
I don't know.
Steve Covey. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think he said, seek first to understand and then be understood.
Yeah.
And again, if you're in the heat of the moment, if you're at that choice of do I want to have a good day or do I want to have a fight, you know, at that moment, if we can seek to understand, so a lot of times Julie will still do something that hits me the wrong way, but instead of mm-hmm. you know, flipping out or engaging in an argument, I might just say, hey, babe, is there some way I can serve you? Is there something eating at you? Is there something wrong? Have I offended you? You know, I might just engage her in that way out of respect, like I would some other human being, for crying out loud. And I think that if we can begin to peer out of these little holes at the top of our head that we call eyeballs and look at the other person like they are actually a human being,
mm-hmm.
then I think that even just that in of itself, mm-hmm. sometimes I just look at you, you know, and even when you're frustrated, I just look at you and I think, man, I wonder what's got her irritated. Mm-hmm. That sucks that nobody likes to feel that way, you know. I wonder, you know what I mean? What can help?
Well, and I think that that's where it shifted for us too. And we want to make sure if you have a question, something's hitting you, you have a best practice surrounding this, by all means, you know what to do probably at this point.
Yep, we got a couple more minutes teaching, but not
that,
a lot.
Yep, hit that star six and join the queue there. But I think where the big shift came, and this has come up a lot in our private coaching, our one-on-one coaching, our life plan coaching, and that is the idea of complacency and the idea of growing intentionally along the lines of what Chuck Swindoll said of a happy marriage isn't so much as finding the right partner as it is being the right partner. And so what we've challenged our clients...
I would say, in fact, it's all about being the right partner.
It is.
You know, I mean...
There was an invitation, and where it switched from don't be, you know, one another's Holy Spirit, don't shift the blame, tame your tongue. And there was all these directives that you'll actually find in the What I Wish My Mother Told Me About Marriage, some great 101s that get your anger back in line or get your jealousy or get your insecurity, just get that conflict resolution from a standpoint that it can be managed so that you can resolve it in that resolution. Now it's almost like this, we're on a quest to get conflict obsolescence, being able to get the place where we don't have to always be managing our emotions. And the biggest way that we've done that is we've lived to not be complacent. And I know for me, one of the best practices that I put in place during a particular season of time was, God, help me to demonstrate your love to my husband. Help me to demonstrate your love to my kids. And for 3 years straight, I would just say, speak, Lord, I'm listening, before my feet ever hit the floor. And before I put my feet to the floor, I would say, show me one way that I can demonstrate your love to my kids and add value to them. Show me one way that I can add value to Greg. And that helped me to set the intent that when I saw you, I wasn't living complacent, because what I was trying to do is add value to your life.
Absolutely.
To wow you, to court you again, to see you with a fresh perspective and
new
eyes.
Absolutely.
And that has helped to curtail, I'd say, a lot of conflict.
What's a new habit for both of us today? You know, again, whereas once we were fighting for our rights and once we were drawing lines in the sand and wagging our head and patting our foot and, you know, and all that stuff, now it's more like a gentleman's battle to see who can outserve one another on any given day. And, you know, it's not that we don't stump our toe every now and then. Nothing's perfect, but it definitely works. I've got just a couple of additional thoughts to wrap us up for this evening. There's nobody in the queue. If you have questions, and you don't have to have questions, but we'd love to answer any if you do. And if you've got something particular you want to bounce off of us, and or if you've got a comment or a best practice, we'd sure love to learn what you're doing that helps you navigate from conflict to peace in your home. And as we're talking there, I was thinking about one of the other things that we sometimes do. Sometimes I just am off, you know, like I'm just... I don't want to be off, but I just don't. I don't feel right, and I'm pissy. You know what I'm saying? I just am.
You're just sour.
A little irritated, and again, sometimes I can't really put my finger on why that is even, and so. Julie being pretty sensitive, if I'm around the house on one of those days. Anyway.
I start doing this horrible thing like, what's the matter? What's wrong?
That's it. But what I've learned to do, and so has Julie. Julie does this very well as well, is when we feel that way, I mean, we'll spend a little while, of course, trying to defeat it and fight it off and so on, but if we're just really struggling, and sometimes I just look at her and I tell her, babe, I don't know. I need you to pray for me because for whatever reason, I'm just a little bit off. I'm not off today. And that's our way of communicating that we're just super irritable, that we're maybe a little bit more tired than we should be, you know. And I'm going to tell you something. It works wonders because when Julie comes and tells me that the decision for the rest of the entire day is already made at that point. You know, I know at that point that under no circumstances am I going to engage in a fight. no matter what she does, it's just not going to happen. Now, that's not that license to walk in every day and say, you know what, I'm a little off today, so eat my dust, you know?
Yeah, we joked, for the next year, just I'm going to be a little off today.
Yeah.
No, you can't
that's
do that.
Not going to happen. But it is, listen, it's okay to be human, and if you're feeling a little bit off, I think that there's a lot of power in just kind of being, you know, creating an agreement and then respecting one another for doing so and loving on one another extra and trying to go above and beyond and serving that person that day. And at the same time, giving them the space that they need in order to be okay, if that makes sense.
Right.
The final thought that I'll offer, the queue is still open, and so we'll wrap up with this unless somebody jumps in. We did a long teaching this evening, didn't we?
Boy, we sure did.
We've talked about this before, but some people are just offendable. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I there's some people I can't help but offend, and I don't even know what it is that I do to offend them.
They look for ways to be offended.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Which also is a habit of thought.
Right, yep.
And so if you find yourself being offended a lot, can I just ask you to please try to not be offendable? Because it sucks to be around offendable people.
Mm.
I mean, it really, really does. It's just a drag to be around people who are really easily offended, you know? And then there is this other idea, and I know that sounds like, oh, what do you mean? Just don't be offended. I mean, don't be freaking offendable. I mean, just what I said. I mean, like, seriously, get over it. Don't take yourself so seriously. Relax a little bit, you know? Really, really, maybe what you need is some replenishment, you know? We've talked in other calls about getting some rest and relaxation and thinking about what it is specifically that you need. And sometimes it doesn't have to be anything of super long duration, but there are things that you can do to help you kind of get yourself back in the right mindset. And then the final thought that I'll offer to you is that just because of some of the conversations that we've had in the last few days and some of the questions that came forward, so I talked about being offendable. Or not being offendable. The last piece is it's about strength. You know, we're all running Mach 10 with our hair on fire, you know? I mean, we're busy. All of us are. I'm looking at the list of names here, and I'm thinking about the things that I know that you've got going, a lot of you anyway. And you're pretty busy cats. And so, fair enough, we all are. But sometimes, you know, fair enough, we get a little weary and we get tired. And it's one thing after another, after another, after another, after another, after another, and it just seems like the challenges just keep coming. Well, what do you do? Well, I'll tell you what I've learned to do, and it actually doesn't just work for me. It works for my pretty little wife as well. And that is, if instead of succumbing to the tiredness and all the chaos, we just get tough.
Hmm.
We get tough as nails. I mean, I'm just telling you, honestly, doesn't mean that we don't have opportunities from time to time. We're not perfect. But I can tell you for a fact that there's been a few times that we've looked at one another and said, you know what, I understand that, and it's not that you're not justified, but what I can tell you is neither one of us have any time for weak-mindedness right now.
Mm.
Neither one of us have any time for weak-mindedness right now. We've got to be strong. Because the only way this is going to change is if we change it. You know? You know, here's the thing. Weakness ain't sexy. I'm sorry, it's just not. Even in a female, my wife is one of the strongest people on planet Earth that I know, and I mean that. I have seen her fight through some tough stuff and win. On the flip side of that, strength, boldness, in the proper sense, those things are sexy. Just are. Somebody who can not be so wounded and so offended that they're afraid to engage in a conversation that can become productive, you know, I think those things are sexy. Somebody that can rise above a lot of the chaos that's going on in life and become a little bit impervious to it. You've got more in you than what you think. Navy SEALs say that we operate at about 40% when we think we're spent. I'd say they've got a right to speak to it. I'm just saying. When you think you're spent, you're at about 40%, which means you got about 60% left in the tank. But we put these false limitations on ourselves, and I think that a lot of times by doing that, we expect people to respond in a such and such a way, and or we it leads to more conflict because we're entertaining the fact that we're weak. Mm. Be strong. Love, what would you do to wrap us up
here? I think, again, it comes back to our identity. You know, and by this time in the series, you guys have all listened to the videos of our marriage foundation. You know, the whole existence for marriage is to make God known, to bring God pleasure, and to demonstrate his unconditional love. And so I think when we can put that hat on, that identity on, that we began to love and serve one another, not because we necessarily in the moment felt like the one or other deserved that good treatment, but because God did. And so it's a matter of giving the person that you're with the respect that they're due. They are made in the image of God.
Amen.
They are created in his image, designed. They're masterpieces created for good works, which God prepared long in advance for them to do. And as a helpmate, our job is to be that support, to not take from, to not deplete from, but to come along and build up. So we want to leave you with these challenges. Throughout the remainder of this week, begin to ask yourself a question every single day before you put your feet to the floor. Begin to ask the question, how can I wow my spouse today? Man, can you imagine if you live your day to wow your mate, how much it might shift the energy in your home or in your workplace? You know, how can you wow somebody who may be rubbing you the wrong way, but especially in your marriage, how can you wow them? Maybe another great question for the second day would be to ask, how can I add joy to their life? What's one way I could bring them joy? A third question, if you're taking notes, is, if not, you're going to have to listen back through. How can I bring peace to my home? What are some actions? How can I live in such a way that I foster peace? What's one way I can absolutely make my spouse's day? How can I communicate how amazing they are? Man, if we begin to entertain those thoughts, we're going to shift the energy and we're going to take conflict resolution to conflict obsolescence by doing that.
Fair
That's
enough.
My little fair play.
Good stuff. Well, look, we taught a little bit longer tonight than what we usually do because Q didn't light up, so I hope that was okay. You know, I just want to wrap up with one final point, and then we'll let you guys go with this evening. And I just wanted to say this. It's like, look, it's not that you're not justified. A lot of the times the things that we're ticked off about, you know, we may be absolutely justified. But again, it doesn't matter whether you're right. It doesn't matter if you're justified. What matters is the peace in the home. And even then, if there is something that you need to address, if you'll just write it down and come back when you're not emotional about it and be able to have a non-emotional conversation about it and stick to the facts and talk about the things that y'all need to do to grow together, then I believe you'll find yourself navigating these things, both with your spouse as well as with your kids, much, much, much more successfully maybe than if you've been butting heads lately.
All right. God bless you all. Thanks for listening in. Hopefully you were able to obtain some good thoughts.
We hit it from about 15 different angles.
We sure did.
I think we covered.